feel the Lord certainly has blessed in the service thus far with the singing, and then as the prayer was offered, so many of the thoughts expressed by Brother Terry were on my mind, and feel like we were in one accord in heart. And we know that can't come out of the heart of man, because man, one thing for sure men do is conflict with one another, and our thoughts are never together according to nature. But the Lord can certainly bring our hearts in one accord to where we desire the same things, we pray for the same things. When we meet together, we look to the Lord for that thing that comes only from Him, and that is His manifest presence and His love with us. And so I just thank the Lord for the prayer as well this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to read to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 today. I'd like to begin reading at verse 10. We'll read down almost to the end of this book, not quite, but as the Lord leads us, we'll read some verses here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The subject matter here is to God's little children, as the book of Ephesians is written to the church at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and to those that name the name of Christ. This book written by the Apostle Paul by inspiration of God is to the little child of God. And here in the conclusion of the book, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." The Apostle Paul here is talking to God's little children. And so much of the book of Ephesians is about the wonderful salvation that the Lord not only came to do, but came and did and finished and accomplished. And that's complete for God's little children, that our eternal home, our eternal resting place, our home in heaven is secured through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood was shed for us, in particular, because God loved us in particular before the very foundation of the world. And the God, the Father, who loved us, sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And in shedding His blood, He secured our salvation, our redemption. And as Gentiles today, we who are far off have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. And because we have been brought nigh, and because we have been made alive, because we have been quickened, the work of the Holy Spirit has quickened us, we now have a life to live and a purpose for existence that before the new birth and before God worked in our lives, we really knew nothing about. Though the hand of the Lord was in the matter all the time. We know that upon God's little children, and really on every little baby that's born, before and one is made and fashioned, it is God who fashioned us and made us even in our mother's womb. His eyes were upon us and His hands were upon us. And the reason that we're here in this world alive, all things are here. They're here because He made them. It's by His power that all things consist. Brother Terry in his prayer says and told us that the very handiwork and the very creation simply declares the power of the Creator, doesn't it? If you look at this world around us, you just simply have to say, there has to be a God. That is, if God has given you faith in your heart and an understanding in your mind, given your life to know Him, then the world declares His sovereignty and His power. We see how great, the hymn writer said, how great there are. One of the things that the hymn writer said that for was when he looked at the works of nature. God's handiwork in this world declares the greatness and the awesome God that we have. And God's little children are living in this world, and we're living in this world for a reason and for a purpose. We're not just here for our good time. We're not just here for to be the teacher or the nurse or the doctor or the lawyer or whatever you might be. We're here. If the Lord has worked a work of grace in your heart, you have been made and created for a purpose. Your existence on the planet is for a purpose. And so many people are just doing all kinds of things today to try to figure out, who am I? One of the great questions of philosophy, and folks are trying to think about and figure out in this world is, who am I and what am I doing here? And why am I here? What is my purpose? Why am I here anyway? And I'll tell you, when men try to find that answer in themselves, when they go to what they know as men, what they can figure out as men, boy, we really come away with a whole lot of mess. God's little children have a wonderful blessing given to them as the children of God, that you know by the grace of God and by the word of God who you are and why you're here. You have that given to you in God's word. Now, do we always remember that? I would say to you and submit to you today that much of the time in our lives, we forget who we are and we forget why we're here. That's why you and I so often are in so much trouble and so much concern and so much doubt and so much fear while we're here in this world. We forget who we are and why we're here. And yet, one of the things that we do when we come to the house of God, we praise the Lord. We've done that this morning. We lift up our voice in praise to Him. We talk about who He is and what He's done for us. But in turn, we need to tell God's little children who you are and what you have done. Now, I'm not here to pat you on the back or lift you up in any way, because when we get through with the message of who you are, you cover both sides of it. You learn about who you are according to nature and what you would be without the Lord, and then who you are according to grace and what you ought to be because of Him. And all of those things and that understanding is necessary for God's little children to live and walk in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. We have in the writings of the book of 2 Timothy some wonderful language here given to us about that tells us who we are and why we're here. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, he tells us some similar language to what we've read in your hearing in Ephesians. He says, "There, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He said, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Here he writes to Timothy, and he says to young Timothy, he says, "My son," his son in the gospel, he says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I'm telling you, if God's grace hadn't shined on us, none of us would care about being strong or know why we need to be strong. We wouldn't have a clue about who we are and what we're doing here. But God's little children have a purpose for being here. And He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, where is our grace? Our grace is in Christ Jesus. God didn't show us grace in and through anyone else other than His own darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the gospel and the message of salvation by grace is such a sweet, wonderful sound to God's little children. You see, it's by grace that you're saved. And it's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're saved. And the very faith that you have to believe in that is the gift of God given unto you. And then as you operate and walk in that faith, you find a salvation and a deliverance in time, a day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, that you and I need this very moment in this world, in our existence today, in order to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And by the way, He's called us to do that, and it's our responsibility to do it. And if we don't do it, we really are simply not honoring the one who's done so much for us. You know, I know if you've got good parents, you don't want to do anything to displease them, do you? You want to walk in a way that will please them. You want to live in a way that they're not displeased. I see my grandchildren at times get worried when you get displeased. They don't like it. When you get displeased, you upset with them, they don't like it. Pop's mad at me. I think he hates me. Pop's upset with me. Well, you see, they don't want to displease you if you love someone. I'm telling you, you and I have a God who has done so much for all of us. He has loved us with an everlasting love, an eternal love. He has sent His only begotten Son into this world. His only begotten Son came and took on in His very body the payment of our sin debt at Calvary to save you and me from hell. And He did that. And if He had not done that, we would have been in hell in a suffering forever. And that justifiably, nobody could have said God was wrong for doing that. But I'll tell you, His mercy and His grace saved us from that place. And not only did His grace save us, but He also carried us and has a promise to carry us to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. And I'm telling you, as a little child of God, that's where you're bound. That's where you're going. And it's all because of Jesus that you have that sweet hope. It's all in Jesus. That same grace that saves us eternally, that has delivered us, and where we're not afraid to die, where we can go to sleep at night, not afraid to leave this world, because we know my salvation and our salvation is not in what we've done for the Lord, because if it had been, I'm going to mess up on that. But our salvation is in what the Lord did for us. And therefore, if I leave this world, there's a better place for me to be. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And He's going to have me there. Not only my soul and my spirit, but my body is going to be one day raised and forever. Body, soul, and spirit. Every one of God's children, all of the family of God, will be with Him in eternity, forever. There is not a possibility that any one of them will fall or fail. No more than God could fail. You look up there at the stars at night and you see what in the world holds them up there. I'll tell you who holds them up there. It's the Lord who holds them up there. And they stay in their place. And you can guide the ships on the ocean by them. Men can find out their direction on this planet because of them. If one of them would move, we'd really be messed up down here, because we're depending on those things that God has put in place. But I'm telling you, those things are nothing but matter. They have no power or strength in themselves. They're just matter and energy. And man understands very little about either one of those things. What we know about it all testifies, that is that which we have right, all testifies to the power of Almighty God, who is the God of all matter and the God of all energy. Listen, He's the power source. It's by His power it consists. Therefore, in the grace of God, we can be strong. In ourselves, there is no strength. In the Lord, there's all you need. In yourself, there's nothing that you have. In me, there's nothing you're going to find. In you, I won't find anything in you. If I look to my wife, she's as empty as I am. And if she looks to me, I'm as empty as she is. We have no strength. He tells us in the Word of God to trust not in man, nor in the princes of man, in whom there is no help. And I love the language. It didn't say a little help and it might let you down. It says there's no help at all. You say, but I've gone to people and they've been a help to me. Have you been to people and been a help? I've called my son at times. He's been a help to me. I've talked to my wife a lot of times. She's been a help to me. I talked to the brethren. You've been a help to me this morning by your very presence being here and gathering here in the house of God, because by that action you've shown that you love the Lord and you have a desire to serve Him. And that's an encouragement. You know, it's a discouragement when a pastor comes and the house is empty. It's an encouragement when you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. But I'm telling you, if it wasn't for God working in you, you wouldn't have done this on your own. And nor would there be a preacher up here preaching to you. It takes the Lord working on all of this. God moves, doesn't He? In mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. And I want us to say and remember all the time, any good that we ever see in this world, and I see a lot of it, it's all as a result of the Father of lights, who cut every good and perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And let us always say, every time there's any good thing, to God be the glory. And great things He hath done. That's His grace. Listen, I don't want to preach anything but grace. Grace for dying, grace for living, grace for preaching, grace for hearing preaching, grace for eating, grace for breathing, grace for loving your family, grace for living, grace when you're in trouble, grace when all things are well, grace, 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 marvelous grace. Even grace for working. Because without His grace, you can't work out what He's worked in. If He hadn't worked it in, you couldn't work it out. And without His grace, you couldn't work out what He worked in. It's only by His grace. It's by His grace that we live and move and have our very being here in this world. Thanks God for His grace. He says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then in verse 3, he tells us what we are. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You've been called into service. You've been drafted. You've been... That is not a good news in the world. You hear when I grew up in the Vietnam days when you just, you know, hearing about being drafted, you know, that wasn't a good thing. That was not a good thing, especially if you were 1A. I mean, those letters, you know, you didn't mind getting a 1A in a lot of things, but not when you got your draft call. And I'm telling you, God's little children have a great blessing. You've been drafted. You've been chosen. You've been called. You've been selected. You didn't sign up. You didn't volunteer. Some people say you choose Him and then He'll come through for you. Listen, if you've ever chosen Him, it's because He chose you. If you've ever loved Him, it's because He loved you. If you're in His army today as a soldier, be a good soldier. But you didn't choose to be a soldier. He chose you. Isn't it wonderful to have a Lord who chose you? This is a good kind of draft. It's a good kind of draft. Now, I'm thankful for men who followed in the draft and did and served this country and this nation. Thank God for them. And thank God that they served honorably. And thank God for all of them who've sacrificed so much that we might have the freedoms that we have. And I'm telling you, even God is the one who blessed every one of them with the ability to do that. Every good thing comes from the Lord. This army that's chosen of the Lord was chosen even before the very foundation of the world. Now, how do we know they're chosen? Verse 3 says that therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That means hardship. You're going to endure some hard things. In this old world, it's not going to always be an easy time. God's little children are going to get sick. God's little children are going to have problems. God's little children are going to have things that come in your life. You're going to have circumstances that you think, well, why as a little child of God will I have to go through this? Listen, as sure as we're in this world, one of the reasons that we have the troubles that are in this world is because in the very beginning, sin entered into the picture. And because of that, there's a lot of things you and I are going to have to face in this world until we get to that place where there is no sin. And when we're there, all our troubles will be over. But while we're here in this world, you're going to face them. You said, preacher, I didn't have to come to church to hear that I was going to have to face them. I've experienced them. And if you're young, you've experienced a few. If you're midlife, you've experienced a few more. And if you're in the twilight years, you just say, oh boy, what's coming next? What's next? What's next? Talked to Brother Robert last night, and he said, the only thing I see, but he thought I'd get it. He said, I thought I'd get older, and things would ease out, smooth out a little bit. And he said, all I'm finding, there's more things to worry about and less ability to deal with them. And I said, amen, brother. I know what you mean by that. I'm telling you, if you're looking for man and help and this old world to find your peace and your rest and your joy, there is none to be found. The wise man Solomon said it so very, very plainly. He said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher, which means emptiness of emptiness. It's all empty. Without the Lord, there isn't a thing worth living for. But I'm telling you, because of Him, as the hymn writer said, life is worth the living because He lives. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Life then is worth the living. Listen, if I didn't know He holds the future, I'd be afraid of what the future holds. But because I remember, and get this though, when I forget who I am, and I forget who He is, I forget who holds the future. And I get just as much in trouble as I was before He ever touched me. And today, you and I are commanded by the Apostle Paul, I want you and me to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He said that you would endure a hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want us to be good soldiers. You called to be a soldier. Be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. You do that day in and day out. This morning, we got to do it this morning. And by lunchtime, we'll have to do it at lunch. And then this afternoon, we'll have to keep on doing it. Then when we go to bed tonight, we'll have to keep on doing it. And we get up in the morning, we have to do it again. And we get it during the day, we'll have to do it then. And Monday, we get through all the snow. If it does come, you do it again. And then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday. And if Thursday's coming, you see, we have one day at a time. Lord's given us sufficient unto the day, He teaches us, is the evil thereof. We're to seek first today the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And all those things that worry us so much, that we get so troubled about, that we forget who we are. Listen, I want you to remember today, if you love the Lord, there's evidence that He loved you in grace and in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And you're the apple of His eye. You're the delight of His heart. He loved you so much, He sent Jesus to die for you. How much love was that? That He will allow him. Think of your own little child and what you would never do to trade that child and that life for anyone. But God allowed His own Son. Do you believe for a moment that you love your children more than the Father loved His Son? Oh, never. We could never love like that. But He loved His children so much that He sent His Son. And the wonderful good news is the Son suffered in a great way, but he didn't die. He did die, but He didn't stay dead. He gave His life, but He had the power not only to give it, get this, He had the power to take it up again. And He conquered and made a victory over death, hell, and the grave. And in that victory, He's given us the victory. He's given us the strength. He's given us the wisdom. He's given us the ability to live in this world, to shine as lights in this world, to be a benefit to our brethren, to benefit to one another, to honor Him for a little bit down here like we're going to do in heaven forever. Listen, we're just doing it in part down here. Up there, we're going to do it all. I hope you like church down here because you're going to have a whole lot of church in heaven. Somebody said, what's heaven going to be? And a lot of people think it's going to be fishing and hunting and golf and this and that. And you know, somebody said, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing that. I'm telling you what we're going to do. We're going to gather around that throne eternally. And we're going to praise God. We're going to praise Him all the time. In one eternal day, forever and ever. And the glory that we'll see is going to be so wonderful. And the peace that we'll feel. And the rest and the love. Listen, you get wrapped up in His love down here, you get goofy. How must it be to be with Him in glory? Where He loved you so much that every sin you've ever committed, those trouble you, don't they? They trouble me. It troubles me when I think about all I've done wrong. When I think about Him dying for them and removing them from me completely. So they're never to be remembered, never brought up anymore, never to be remembered anymore. Listen, it's going to be wonderful in glory, but God's blessed us here this morning at this little church to be able to sit together for a little bit and get a little foretaste, a little earnest of that which is going to come when we in the Spirit can sit here together and worship the Lord and honor and praise Him and hear about how we ought to live in this world. And everything you do, if you're driving that vehicle and carrying someone up and down the road, you remember who you are, that this is the Lord who he's given me a higher calling than to just live like the old man that I used to be and walk and talk and act like I used to. I have someone else to honor and glorify. You lose your life that you might find it. He goes on and he says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Now, why are you living? I'm living here to please him who chose me to be a soldier. When you're in the army, you don't decide when you're going to get up. At least that's what they tell me. You don't decide what you're going to eat. You just eat what they put in front of you. You don't decide when you're going to do this and when you're going to do that. This is what you got to do. I never served in the army, but my son told me a lot about what he experienced there. And you don't make those decisions are made for you. A lot of things you don't have to think about. Listen. As a God's little child, there's a lot of things we're given. That direction is given to us in God's Word of how we're supposed to act and behave and respond as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he may, and to live in a way to please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. One of the places that I love so much in the Bible that talks about who God's children are found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 gives us that wonderful passage about who God's children are. Verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. God's people are a chosen generation. First of all, God's children have been made alive by the grace of God. Born of His Spirit. Generated. You're a generation. You're born again. A chosen born again generation. You were chosen. Now your choice was made before the very foundation of the world. You are a chosen generation. Not only that, you are a royal priesthood. Verse 9 says, you are a royal priesthood. Now, royal means you're kings. Y'all didn't know you were kings this morning. You're kings and you're priests. If you belong to the Lord, you're not kings and priests because you've done something, but you have been made kings and priests. Kings in the sense that you've been made a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're one that who's been given the wonderful gift of faith. And faith, as you operate in it, will allow you to overcome in this world the obstacles and things that you face. It also is, as a king, you're made more than a conqueror through all your troubles and problems that you go through. The Lord is the one who will allow us to be victorious in all of those battles. We're kings and we're priests. How are we priests? Well, we come this morning and you lift up your voice and you sing praise unto the Lord. And we come and worship Him in prayer and in song. And we're singing, making praise unto the Lord. How do we do that? Listen, the only way we're kings and priests unto the Lord is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all by His grace. So again, we go right back to God be the glory. But remember this, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. That's when you're feeling like, I'm not going to make it through this. Well, in yourself you can't, but in the Lord you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And without Him, you can do nothing. You see, that tells you who you are. Without the Lord, what can I do? Nothing. With the Lord, what can I do? Whatever He would have me to do in the battle as a soldier that He calls me into, He'll give me the strength as my day. As I need Him, I will find what I need. As I need wisdom, He'll give it to me. As I need strength, He'll give it to me. He is my refuge. And as we talked about last week, He is my strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. And that's where we are. And He'll be that for us until we leave this world. I hope that's good news to you. I hope it gives you comfort. It ought to be that which allows us to let us be strong. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He goes on, he says, you are a royal priesthood. You are an holy nation, which means you and I have been called to walk different than we used to walk. We want to be more like, we sing it, more like Jesus. Don't you want to be more like Jesus? I want to talk more like He would have me to talk. I want to act more like He would have me to act. I want to behave more like He would want me to behave. I want to let my light shine, that light that He has given me, Christ in you, as we have heard in the prayer this morning. Let our light shine and give the Lord the praise. As wherever we are in life, we ought to want to live in a way to give honor and glory to the Lord. That means our behavior ought to be that which He has set an example for, and we're trying to follow in His example. Before you talk, sometimes we need to think, don't we? Before I speak, I need to think, is this really honoring God, is this what the Lord would have me to do here? Is this what the Lord is teaching me to say? And so often we get off track. And when we do, well, it's wonderful to be able to go then later and say, Lord, forgive me. But oh, God forbid, we want to walk better and live better in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Now, I'm not leaving grace here. Some of you are thinking, boy, it looks like me. He's leaving grace now. No, I'm not leaving grace. I'm telling you, you can't do any of this without the grace of Almighty God. But by His grace, you can walk in a way to honor and please Him. And He says that you are a holy nation, a peculiar people. God's people are a peculiar people. And that word really means a purchased people, a paid for people, a people that are different from others. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have the work of grace in your heart. You have a conscience that's going to trouble you, doesn't it? When you walk contrary to what the Lord would have you to do. And He says, for this, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now that tells us why we're here. The reason we're here is that we would show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, now we get to our text. We got about 7 minutes. That's okay. Who are we? We are God's children. Why have we been made? To show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the reason you're here on the planet. You're here to praise the Lord. The psalmist said praise Him. But we ought to be praising Him. That's the reason we were made. We ought to praise Him with our actions. We ought to praise Him with our talk. We ought to praise Him with our life. We're not only to be hearers of the Word, but we're to be doers of the Word. We don't want to be those who hear it and not do it. And we'll be like those who look in the mirror and then walk away and forget what manner of man we are. I hope we see, and from the light of the Word, we have a great responsibility as God's little children to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord, to give Him the praise. Listen, you'll find peace in that path. And outside of that path, you'll find the chastisements that come. And we all have felt that chastening rod of the Lord. There's no greater evidence you belong to Him than when He gives you that chastisement. He chastens everyone that He loves. But oh, how good it is to hear Him say in that still small voice that you hear in your heart sometimes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when we hear that, we know, again, to God be the glory. Looking at the text, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Now, as a good soldier, we are then to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have an adversary in this world, the old devil, that is constantly coming after us in order to ruin our testimony in a way that we might live in a way to bring a reproach to the name of our Lord. Listen, if you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you, and your responsibility is to live for Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him. And the adversary cannot take our eternal destiny, but he'd love to carry us and bring us into some bondage by us not being obedient and walking in the teachings of the Lord. He says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The old devil come after you, and you know, he tempts us with all different kinds of things. He knows our weaknesses. He's very wise in the sense of bringing us into a place where we are easy to fall. He'll tempt us in ways and manners that we don't even know that it's him. He doesn't come say, I'm the devil, follow me. He comes in so many ways and disguises. And we could be very, very much taken if we're not aware of his techniques. But see, the Bible has allowed us to know about his techniques. We're not unaware of his schemes and the way that he moves in this world. And we're told here that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil when we put on the whole armor of God. He's given us the armor of God to wear that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So how can we stand against the wiles of the devil? By putting on the armor of God. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'll tell you, I believe we're living in a day and age where those things are so clearly seen in every area of our lives today. We see them in governments. We see them entering into our homes. We see them on television screens and hearing them across radio signals and on the computer. We see them everywhere. We see them in here. We're bombarded with all of these things that show evidence of spiritual wickedness in high places. And in high places, it even can enter into our service as we're sitting here. The old devil, if you give him room, will come sit down right on the seat by you and hinder you from feeding on the Word of God and fill your mind with all kinds of things. Listen, we need to put on the whole armor. And none of us this morning would have thought about coming out without putting on clothes and getting dressed and being prepared for the elements. We go outside in this cold weather. I'm not going out without a coat. I want the shoes that I need and the apparel that I need to handle whatever kind of weather I'm in. I know when I used to hunt a little bit and I'd get ready to go hunting in the morning, I'd make sure I had enough stuff that I was going to sit on a deer stand for a while. I need to have 3 or 4 layers of clothing on in order to make sure I was going to be warm. If not, I was going to pay the cost if I got out there and wasn't prepared, wasn't ready for that. And listen, I'm telling you, God's little children, that's the man of the world getting prepared for the elements of this world. God's little children, we need to prepare in the battle that we're in this world by putting on the whole armor of God, and we ought to think about doing that every single day. And He lays out for us what it is we're to do. We don't have much time, we'll just be reading it. He says, wherefore take the whole armor of God. And notice though, the whole armor of God works. God's way works. That's what's wonderful about God's way. Always works. And when you put on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand. Somebody said, I put on the whole armor of God and it didn't hold up. No, that's not going to be true. If it didn't hold up, it's because you didn't put it on. God's armor will hold up. I don't believe God's armor will fail, do you? You might have something man gives you that fails, but this is from the Lord. You put on what the Lord gives you, it won't fail. It will never let you down. God has given us an armor that's sufficient to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do I know that? He said you'd be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we're to put on His armor that He's given us. We're reading about the armor. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And that's the day of temptation, which for me is right now this morning. And this afternoon it'll be then. And tomorrow it'll be then. And whenever I'm in this old world, we're going to be under attack. And so we need to put on the whole armor of God and then wear it. Keep it on. And He says to withstand in the evil day. Now let me say this. Without the Lord, you wouldn't have any armor. And without the Lord, you wouldn't have the strength to put it on. And without His grace, you can't keep it on. It takes His grace for you to have it. It takes His grace for you to put it on. And if you do that, it'll only be by His grace you've done it. And so all the glory for that belongs to who? To the Lord. To God be the glory. But He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, He says, stand therefore. How many times has He said stand? Does standing sound like it's important for God's little children? Yes, it is. You know why it's important? Because you shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your testimony in this world is important. And not that you're important, but the glory of God is important. To testify to the glory of God and to honor God is important. It's going to be the activity of heaven. It's the light of this world. Listen, this world exists for the glory of God. Every day is there for the glory of God. And you and I, especially God's children, are called to be lights in this world, and we're to shine forth the light. He says, among the things of this world, we shine as lights in this world. And that's our calling to do that. This little church needs to be a light. If we act like the world, talk like the world, and behave like the world, we're not a light in this world. We're just like the world. So we need, how can we be different? Well, we put on, by the grace of God, we put on what God's given us, and we walk and act and talk in a way the Lord has taught us. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Stand, have your loins girt about with the truth. Put the truth on. That means I need to not only hear it on Sunday, but I need to walk it on Sunday afternoon and Monday and Sunday night and every other day. I need to walk in the truth the Lord's given me. I need to remember who He is and remember because of that who I am and what I'm here for. And when every decision I make it in light of that. Every word I speak, say it in light of that. You say, well, that sounds hard. Listen, it means giving up your life. You give it away. You can't keep it anyway. Give up your life, you gain it. Listen, it's a life abundant. When life becomes relatively simple, it isn't about what I want. It's about what would the Lord have me to do. It isn't about how is it working out my way. It's about trusting Him in His way. And let, you know, it's finding peace and rest. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's His righteousness. We're walking in His righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's putting the scripture on your feet and allowing it to guide you and lead you in your life. And above all, take the shield of faith. Oh, haven't we needed the shield of faith? And the shield of faith is when the old devil sends you a lie, you can just hold up that shield of faith and remember the promises of God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by faith, how many adversaries of the Old Testament do we read about falling because a little brother or sister stood strong in the faith and trusted the Lord and did not fear what men might do to them? You know, the Lord will take care of His people. You and I have every reason to trust in Him today. Taking the shield of faith, there wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we could spend a long course, every one of these you could spend a long time with, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Brethren, we've been praying for one another. We need to keep praying for one another and pray in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means keep at it. And when you get down, you know, when you get down, you get weak. When you begin to falter, when your thinking begins to get off this, then it helps to be with the brethren and tell one another, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And add for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Brethren, we as God's little children have the truth to stand for, stand up for, take a stand on, take the name of Jesus with you, live for Him, live to glorify Him. This isn't anything about how you get to be His. We know we're His because of what He's done for us. It's all by His grace. But it is about what we should be because we do belong to Him. And in living in that way, it's a pathway of peace and rest and joy in this world. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.